and local.
Live and local.
This is Sactown Sports.
We are an hour away from Daniel Tosh ticket giveaway. Live Nation teamed up with Sactown Sports. Your chance to see Daniel Tosh at Hard Rock Live April 12th. I heard it's beautiful this time of year. All you have to do is hit up the Folsom Lake Honda hotline at 1 p.m. Nate is going to pick the number to score that pair of tickets. Let's get out to that Folsom Lake Honda hotline. Talk to TC. TC, you in on Monty McNair? What you got?
Man, look, hey, check it out. First of all, Styles and Watkins, what's up?
What's up, man? TC? Good to hear from you.
Hey, man, for sure. Look, check it out, big dogs. Hey, I've been in on Monty McNair and Mike Brown. I told you to give him a lifetime contract. I'd be idiotic to get rid of any one of these dudes. These dudes turned it around. I love Mike. I know Mike. They all have their faults. But Mike is a great head coach, and he has a great staff. He's not going, in my opinion, he's not going anywhere for a life. Mm-hmm. It's just like Monty McNair, bro. Monty McNair said, hey, listen, I was probably one of the main ones as a Kings fan that was super frustrated at the deadline. Y'all heard me when I was calling in, like, Monty, what are you doing? But Monty is taking calculated steps. Look how many free agents are free agents next season. Also, he wasn't trying to cap hold because we're trying to sign Malik Monk. And also, next year, if we can't sign Malik Monk, then that's when we go after somebody in the offseason, in the summer, and try to get somebody, make some moves, sign somebody. So Monty is using his head, bro. And it took me not really a long time, but it took me a little bit to think about it. I took a step back and said, you know what? Monty is smart, man. I love how he moves. So talking about we and Monty we don't trust, that's stupidity, bro. Yeah. I trust this dude. Seriously. That's all I got.
Thanks for the call, TC. Yeah, I think that is well said, but people will, you know, things happen quickly and things change quickly. From the 5-3-0, we all trusted and liked Monty last year when we got all kinds of wins, and now we don't. Come on, people. Kings are not reliable, but that is not Monty's fault. Chris Watkins, did you tweet that? Did you text that during the break?
No, we just got the smartest listeners in radio. That's just what it is. Like, I mean, it's ridiculous how people can just be so quick. I mean, we see people in the chat and on the text line sometimes. They'll say, you know, fire Mike Brown. And it's like, you guys, like, it's one thing if you're not happy with the current state of what they're doing with their job, but to call for their job and say that they need to be replaced or just removed. Like, I don't think people really think about what it is that you're actually saying and the implication that there's people out there. Like, again, this is definitely more on that Kyle Shanahan talking point where, you know, I can't imagine people really doing a whole lot better with the situation they're being given. Now, Kyle, that doesn't really fit Kyle Shanahan. But with Monty and Mike Brown, like watching how Mike Brown handles this team and how he's had them prepared and how he talks to them and about them, I just can't imagine any. Like, I don't think the Kings playing inconsistently are still not giving 100% effort on the defensive side of the ball for four quarters. I just don't believe that it's because Mike Brown is not doing a part of his job. I just think that's on the players. And, you know, sure, maybe you can try to go out there and find somebody who gets through to the players more. Maybe you feel like Tom Thibodeau with his style of just no nice all scream is going to be better.
He was screaming yesterday,
yeah.
By the way.
Oh, yeah, he is.
That was a terrible call, though.
It was really, really bad.
Jalen Brunson, yeah. The Knicks got kind of cheated out of a win a little bit to end, and they're up against the Rockets. But, yeah, go on.
No, I just kind of feel like there's not many people who could just walk in and take that job. I mean, especially with what they're building now, I don't know. I do think that it's a lot on the players, and the players haven't really stepped up the way that they're capable of stepping up. Like, I don't think – you know, maybe you can blame Monty for not bringing in overall talent that could have improved this team, but I just think it's kind of I know this isn't great analysis, but I think it's a little bit of bad luck that every single guy Monty brought in this offseason didn't pan out. Like, it made sense for Sasha Vezenkov to make sense with this team. Chris Duarte, I mean, we were having conversations, and it wasn't led by us, but fans were asking, should Chris Duarte start at the beginning of this season over Kevin Huerter? Like, it's, I don't think that that's Monty's fault that the minor swings he took didn't pan out.
No, and you're just in a tough spot. If you are, I think there's way more smoke for, and right now Mike Dunleavy Jr. doesn't look as bad because the Warriors are starting to heat up. But if you're a team like the Warriors or a team like the Lakers, who are just, I just think that context is very important. And it, you cannot have this conversation about the Kings and not bring up the past and how, if you're going to go out, this team did something that hasn't been done in a very long time. And if you're going to go out in second year, right, if you're going to miss the playoffs, at least you did it with a team that they got you there.
Yeah.
Imagine if they took a swing, it doesn't work out.
Right.
Harrison Barnes stays on a heater and the Kings miss the playoffs.
Right.
He'd get destroyed.
He would get killed. He would get killed.
He would get destroyed.
Absolutely.
You cannot really kill Monty McNair for sticking with the dudes that took the Kings somewhere that they haven't
right.
been in a very, very, very long time. That's it.
No, it makes a lot of sense. Like, it might not be the exciting thing. It might have not been, you know, the biggest splash or anything. But I think especially in hindsight, like, you know, I don't know if, to your point, like, I don't know how much better the Kings are if they have Kyle Kuzma this season, if they go all in on him this offseason. And looking at it from the deadline, too, I don't know how much better they were going to be if they, you know, again, make a move for DeLon Wright, or even if they would have, or whatever. Maybe people are upset that, hey, they see how much OG Anunoby is helping the Knicks. Why didn't Monty McNair be more aggressive on those talks? Well, again, like, look at what Toronto gave up to
buy
get
Keegan.
Yeah, you got to ship off
see
Keegan
ya.
And Malik
yeah.
because that's what they shipped off RJ Barrett, who was their number three pick in the draft, who has been good, definitely not to the level of Zion and Ja, who are picked in front of him, but still a good player. And then they got rid of Emmanuel Quickley, who is pretty much, or was at that point, toe for toe with Malik Monk and Sixth Man of the Year. So there's your trade. If you want OG Anunoby so bad, if that's the guy you feel like would have brought the Kings tons of victories, that's fine, but you have to say bye to Keegan Murray and Malik Monk to do it. And I think everybody knows you can't. This Kings team doesn't. It's not even close to the same team if you don't have Malik and Keegan out there. So it just doesn't really make sense. Like, tell me the exact thing that you feel like the Kings should have done.
From the 916, I got to call you out. Because you have been saying there's levels to this for months, and the second round is part of that. So don't get it twisted, 916. I think that's a great call out. I'm not saying that the Kings shouldn't get to the second round. I'm saying if Monty McNair believes that this makes more sense, I'm saying if Monty McNair believes that it's not worth mortgaging their future to get to the second round, I can't really argue that.
Yeah.
I still think that they should get to the second round as presently
yeah.
constructed.
Got to get to the second round to
but
get
that's
to the
my
finals.
Whole, but that's my whole point.
Right.
That's my whole point. I think that this roster should be able to get to the second round. So if you can't get to the second round with this roster, I don't want you mortgaging your future to just get to the second round.
Exactly.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
If you're
going
to mortgage your
perfect.
Future, you're taking a swing to win the whole thing. That's like what the Bucks did.
Mm-hmm.
That's like what the to a lesser degree, the Celtics did or
right.
what the Knicks are trying to do. And maybe not the Knicks, but the Knicks are cooking right now. I think they're still
I think they're legit.
In third. So, yeah, I believe that this roster should be good enough or is good enough to make it to the second round. But I don't believe that Monty McNair should create a roster that they feel
yes.
like is just good enough to get to the second round. That's going to take blowing up the future to get there. If you're going to blow up the future, you're taking a swing at the whole thing. And I don't think that anybody around was going to get you there. If you do that deal, Malik Monk and Keegan Murray for OG Anunoby, the Kings team is still not winning the whole thing. And they're not even in the conversation.
Right. No, because they would still need probably another Keegan Murray. or yes. another Malik
that's the,
Monk.
That's the problem.
Exactly. And yes, there are levels to it, but first and second round are the same level. I hate to tell you. Like, yeah. just because it's an advancement of round does not mean that you are at a different caliber of team. The next level is conference title or conference title contention.
Yeah.
Second round, again, like you said, nobody's going to go around flexing. The Warriors are not, hey, we were a second round out last year. Yeah, like,
the Lakers. The Lakers.
I mean, the Lakers at least can say we made it to the conference finals.
Yeah.
Like, that, there's real pride in being the Kings. The furthest this Kings team, this Sacramento Kings organization has ever gone is the conference finals. So there's pride in being a conference finals team. But being a second round team, that's just, okay, cool.
And you
made it out of the first round. Whoopee, maybe you're closer to a conference final, but that shouldn't be, you shouldn't make a move in the hope of, hey, I don't think this turns us into a conference finalist, but maybe this, or a title contender, but I do think this could get us into the second round. That's you. Then you shouldn't make that move, because that move probably, the risk reward probably isn't worth it.
They're looking at this, or some people look at this and say, this team isn't good enough, so Monty needs to make a move. But I think the other way to look at this is, this team isn't good enough, so we can't make a move.
Right, so right? why make a move?
If De'Aaron was still averaging 30, Sabonis, y'all know, Sabonis, he is my guy. But if De'Aaron was doing what he was doing, if Keegan was full leap, and it was, we are just one, two moves away, that's not enough. That's different.
Yep.
That's not where these guys are.
Yep.
And if you want to blame anyone, you can blame the team for honestly underperforming.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm right there with you.
707, to clarify, my text was not to get rid of Monty. That would be foolish. But Monty is part of the team and is basically throwing away the season. We did not get better this year from offseason to now.
Hmm.
But it's the same thing.
But you're saying you don't trust him. Like,
but it's the same thing I've been saying. I truly think we got to go.
Yeah.
I truly think that if the Kings weren't in a situation where they hadn't been in the playoffs for so long, maybe it would be easier to detach from some of these players. Blowing this thing up without knowing what you were blowing it up for was going to get you any further. And, you know, a lot of these guys, they were coming up on different contracts. The Siakam thing, was he going to resign? His hands were a bit tied besides these small deals that really just would have ticked people off anyway. All right, got to get to a break. When we get back, more Kings talk. What's wrong with De'Aaron Fox? Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports.
Check us out on YouTube.
Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
Live Nation has teamed up with Sacktown Sports for your chance to see Daniel Tosh at Hard Rock Live April 12th. All you have to do is hit up the Folsom Lake Honda hotline at 1 p.m., 45 minutes, and Nate will pick a caller, and we will get you those tickets.
Can I, real interesting note here, actually, from the football side, I believe the Niners are having a press conference right now of some sort, but it's coming out that D-tackle Eric Armstead is saying that he tore his meniscus in his right knee in the Philly game and played through it in the postseason, but will need surgery on it in the next coming days.
They're all going to come out now.
Isn't that crazy?
That's insane.
Like,
he balled, too.
How does one do that? Like, that's a different level of toughness. Like, and then even Biederman telling us how Kittle has needed surgery for 6 years.
Yeah,
and
it's just like, for the last 2 decades.
Here we are talking about De'Aaron Fox. Like, what is wrong? Like, I need stinger. Him. If you're hurt, you're hurt. Like, please sit. And it's, meanwhile, George Kittle has had a career year, you know, career seasons and
torn
labrum.
Are the only two injuries, I guess, besides a broken bone, are the only two injuries that you truly can't play through an Achilles and an ACL? Are those the only two? I know that's a super broad question,
right.
But it feels
I mean, UCL.
Like, when I hear meniscus, I feel, UCL, Tommy John.
Right. I mean,
like the knee stuff.
Broken
I feel like
bones?
People can. I said broken bones.
Right, okay. Of course. If you're,
but when I hear meniscus,
broken.
I think you're cooked, and well, clearly
dudes
you're not.
Play through fractures too. So
right,
like,
you just tape it up. Or go to Ronnie Lott, just cut it off.
I'm so soft. That's all I know. That's what I learn every single day.
Yeah,
I'm
it's just, true.
I'm Charmin soft.
Like literally can't. I can't play at all. I think it's just Achilles and ACL.
Like, what I just I should not be speaking on this because I'm not a doctor, obviously. But if I'm not mistaken, the meniscus is like this. Like you can play on it, but it's gonna. There's like a I don't know even what it is. There's something in between two bones, and essentially,
you can play.
If you tear your meniscus, it's just bone to bone, and it's not terrible.
It's like metal on metal.
It's just you definitely shouldn't play on it for long.
Did you watch the Dre Greenlaw? Both of you?
I have
injury?
Not rewatched
yes.
it, though. I have not,
yes,
I have
dude.
Not looked at the calf specifically
and then I saw,
to see it.
Dude, but. I saw a video of some guy online being like, this is what happens when you have bad habits as an athlete. And they're blamed. They're like, look at him in practice. He's standing.
No way.
Like, and I'm like, dude, this is the worst thing I've ever seen.
Is that probably the worst way you could, I mean, of course, there's like final destination kind of things, but like that's got to be like nightmare fuel for athletes, right? Like almost like something where you're not even, you would never consider, I can get hurt. Not even hyping. He literally took a hop.
He was just
before he goes.
No, he's
off
just
the
doing
field.
Like calf hops.
Yeah,
where
like, that's
like,
what's so
minor,
like, all right, let's go.
That's and what's like, so weird about the Achilles thing. So let's just pretend. And I've literally asked my PT,
right?
Hey, was it me? I've heard that you have to work it out. You have to stretch it. Hey, you know, the first thing everybody asks you, well, did you stretch that day, right? So I asked her, I said, was it? And then I've also heard, you know, I was golfing with somebody who also tore his, and he just said, yeah, I've always heard when it's just time
a
to go.
Freak accident.
That's what Richard Sherman said.
It's just going to go, right? Yeah. So basically,
that is frightening.
So,
but everybody just has some internal Achilles clock.
Yes,
that is just,
and maybe you have a longer clock
exactly,
than others, right?
My God,
so the question is, this is just a funny, not funny, but a weird state, a weird situation. If he doesn't hop up and down
right.
and gets in, does he tear it?
Yeah,
the
next butterfly
play?
Effect.
Yeah,
was it literally just that?
You can't think about that.
Because the Achilles
question.
Is so random.
Yeah. I'm thinking if it's him, though, you got to just be like, it was going to happen. I mean, whatever. It's so gross. I would like to let you guys know, though, how soft I am. We don't have an elevator here. We're upstairs.
Yes.
If I'm getting any lower body injury, you guys aren't seeing me. I'm not going up those stairs. You're not seeing me for weeks. OSHA.
You gotta get that boot and figure it out.
I know. Alan had to like walk sideways up and down the stairs for his first
Chris
like month.
Yeah, Chris would be walking down.
Here.
I'm like, hey, hold on. Where are you going? I don't know where I'm going, man. Like, hold on, Alan.
It is a bit of a maze here.
Yeah, I'm like, Chris, hold on, dude. All right.
Carry me.
Yeah.
From the 209, meniscus is the padding between joints.
There you go.
Leg.
There you go.
If
nice.
It's down, it can grind through for a while. Tore mine three times.
Oh,
wrestling. Bro. That is from Dan in Lodi.
Wrestlers are tough.
They are.
I got a friend who's a wrestler his whole life. His ear is just
the cauliflower.
Oh
ear.
My cauliflower.
I was like, dude, you gotta just let me touch it. I gotta feel it. It is crazy. It's just like rocks.
Gotta let me touch it.
The cauliflower ear? Yeah, because I'm not gonna ask like a fighter. But that's like a pure. That's almost like. Like in the animal kingdom, how like spiders have eyes on the backs,
right?
You know they have you know some animals have
like a
designs on their backs, no, to scare other creatures away.
Sure,
that's that for humans. If you see somebody with an ear swollen,
right.
You're like, okay, just be as nice as humanly possible
right.
to this guy.
But
yeah,
that could, he could, right? Because even if he stinks compared to other fighters, right.
He's gonna kill you.
You never know.
Mess
I actually no. Hold on.
I have a whole thing about how
I
you
was
just,
a purple
you
belt.
You can't get into bar fights these days because you just like TJ. I've stood next to TJ Dillashaw once, who is the UFC one of the lighter
bantamweight
weight classes.
Champion.
Thank you. He's just so unassuming, and like he's 5'5" maybe, and it's like. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like I'm almost 6 feet.
Yeah.
Like
you
I probably
this.
Got this dude outweighed. No. Like easy. I could. Mm-hmm. I can mess this dude up. Who are you talking to me like that? And you don't know this man is literally a trained killer.
He gets you on the ground.
It's
you're
over.
Dead.
No, it's over.
You're dead.
Thankfully, those people.
Belt.
From what I understand, everyone says
karate.
UFC fighters are the nicest people.
I went to Chuck Norris martial arts.
Rex Kwon Do. You never seen Napoleon Dynamite?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's like, you get that reference?
I'm a purple. I'm I don't think
that's
belt,
why
dude.
You did last.
You made the joke first.
I'm not a joke.
Chuck Norris, you're a Chuck Norris purple belt.
Yes.
That is a
mom. If you're listening, call in, mom.
Mom. I can fight, huh, mom?
Tell him, mom. Drop the belt down,
mom. I know you got the belt. All right, gotta get to a break. When we get back, what would you have liked to see the Kings do, and how many teams above the Kings would you trust the Kings to beat in a playoff matchup? Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
This makes me want to get my green belt.
Yeah, wait, what's the pecking order?
Yeah, black is after purple, isn't it?
Are you sure? I thought it was purple
then
green.
I'm pretty sure it's
in jiu-jitsu. I got the number four.
Oh.
White, yellow.
Blue. Oh, yeah.
Orange, purple, green.
Dang.
Oh, so you put some time in.
Chuck Norris lives in his own.
And somebody's trying to roast me on the text line. 209, purple belt from Chuck Norris, more like a brown belt from Marshall's clearance rack. Why are you roasting me like that, 209?
It honestly did sound like a joke when you
said
it.
But you guys don't understand. Chuck Norris was that dude. He was that dude.
Thank you, Chuck Norris.
He was that dude.
Yeah.
He was that dude.
Club Phoenix.
Purple, purple belt. He was that dude.
Purple, purple beam.
My dad's telling me apparently I was actually a purple belt, too. I just...
No, heck no. No.
Oh, you guys have to spar.
Oh, yeah, now we got to spar.
That's the bell.
Bring the bell.
Bring the bell.
Bring the belt.
Chris is trying to fight TJ Dillashaw now.
I'm going to walk in with my belt over my shoulder tomorrow.
Dude, that would be sick.
Mom, bring the belt.
Jay Mars, Sacktown legend.
Dude.
He's a karate king for real.
Mom, bring the belt. All right, 30 minutes until Daniel Tosh ticket giveaway. Live Nation has teamed up with Sacktown Sports for your chance to see Daniel Tosh at Hard Rock Life. April 12th, all you have to do is hit up the Folsom Lake Honda hotline at 1 p.m. and Nate will pick the caller and we will go from there. I wanted to read this text. The text line, by the way, this might be one of the best text line days that we've had in a very long time. Obviously, we were gone last week. I'm sure you would have been on fire last week as well, but you guys are doing a great job. And thank you to the Sack Chat and shout out to the Sack Chat as always. This one is interesting. From the 916, if the Kings get past Golden State last year, they make the Western Conference Final. They match up well with all of the teams above them. This league is all about matchups. This is from Sean in Placerville, and I don't really know what to do with last season. I kind of just want to focus on this season because a lot of Kings fans are pessimistic, and I think it's unique to have an optimistic take out of Kings fans. So shout out to Sean in Placerville. But I got to tell you, Sean, I don't know, man. I'm pretty worried, right? I mean, let's just go through the list here. You have the Suns, who we probably feel good about, but in a 7-game series, do you feel the same? Honestly, the Suns remind me, and I'm not saying he's anywhere near it, but that's like a Mahomes situation. I don't know that I want to face KD, Devin Booker.
Definitely not.
In the playoffs, even if they've looked like garbage during the regular season.
Right.
Then you have the Pelicans, and we all know, Sean, I don't know how we can.
We got to be real with each other.
Come on now. So that's two right there.
Yes, no.
That's it. You have the Nuggets, who are the defending champs, okay? You have the Clippers, who the Kings have not beat yet.
Mm-mm.
You have the Thunder, who finally beat the I'll give you the
Thunder. Yeah,
I'll
sure.
give you the Thunder.
Give them the Thunder.
I'll give you the Thunder.
Give them the Thunder.
And then you have the Timberwolves, who the Kings have basically split against so far.
Right.
So maybe I'll give you Timberwolves.
It's a lot
so
of
you
length.
Have two, but then you have 1, 2, 3, 4. You have out of the six teams, four teams worry me. Two teams worry me less.
Yep. Yeah. That's not good math.
I don't think the Kings match up with all six teams above them at all.
No, I don't either. That's even being generous and saying, OKC, we'll give you OKC. I mean, I think I trust the Kings Kings group as much as I would trust OKC. I feel like it's not being talked enough about, as we talk about that guy earlier who has a million-dollar bet out there for OKC to win the title. I just don't
cash out, man.
It's a little too early on OKC. I would think that the Kings, that's the only team. Here's a crazy concept. OKC, if the Kings do go against them, which right now that is the 2-7 matchup, if the Kings go against the OKC, that's the only team the Kings have an actual playoff experience advantage over.
Mm.
Only team in the playoffs. And so that's the only reason why I will give you OKC.
Do you really want to go up against a free throw merchant in the playoffs, though?
No, absolutely not.
That's just bad basketball.
Absolutely not.
That's just bad basketball.
I mean, OKC's got, they got young players. They also, let's not forget, they traded for Gordon Hayward, who's not going to be able to play for them for a while. You want to talk about not sure if he'll be healthy or not. But, I mean, if Gordon Hayward could really add something dangerous to that team, especially closing lineups, but you could take Giddy out. Gordon Hayward's nice.
When is the last time Gordon Hayward played?
Like, actually, I mean, he's played earlier this year.
But when did he play?
It's been a while since he has played a significant amount of games. I can pull that up for you, but
I guess all you need is him for 16 games.
Exactly, and here's the beauty of it. In a weird way, beauty's in the eye of the beholder. He's already hurt. So you're almost kind of, you know, you're going to get him coming back from injury and ramping up.
Right.
And so there's a little bit less fear besides just injury management in general that you're probably going to get. I mean, at least for a little bit, you'll get a healthy Gordon Hayward. Maybe you can kind of put him in the garage a bit too until you really need him. But I don't know. I mean, OKC is really the team that I would feel best about. Minnesota, I don't want to see the Kings go against Jaden McDaniels, Cat, Gobert, Naz Reid front line with how they've struggled with length all this year. And then you have Anthony Edwards, too, outside, who could potentially, you know, do what he's done really every time he's been in the postseason as a player so far. And he elevates to like an MVP type level. So I'm nervous about facing Minnesota if that's the case.
Which team out of the four, so don't count the Pelicans, which team out of the four, Timberwolves, Thunder, Clippers, Nuggets, would you, if you had a choice, to eliminate one of them so that the Kings could not face them?
Clippers.
It's got to be the Clippers.
No thanks. Yeah. I mean, they're playing the best basketball, and I mean, top end, PG, Kawhi. Mm-hmm. You got Russ, who in the playoffs, he'll go crazy. James Harden will not go crazy in the playoffs, but he's a threat at least out there. And then, you know, it's the guys that nobody talks about. Zubac. You got Norm Powell, who's
Norm Powell was
almost their best player in the playoffs last year. I would almost say he was their best player in the playoffs last year. They're stacked. And they have Ty Lue, who knows how to win a championship. So Clippers are definitely the team that would, funny enough, they scare the most out of me. But Denver is definitely a close second for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. You can say that the Kings match up well with these teams. There's teams on this list that they haven't even beaten.
Right.
All right. Yeah. There's two teams ahead of them that they have not beaten this season.
Yeah. I mean, and the Pelicans, it's just, like you said, we're not even going to mention the Pelicans.
No, but no. That can't happen.
If somehow the Kings get into a 4-5 matchup with the Pelicans, you know, the Kings will probably, hopefully they'll win one of them, right? Like there's no way you could play. That would be
eight games. Record.
If you go 0-8 against the Pelicans,
that would have to be a record.
That's insane. So I would assume that they would win one, maybe two. But with what we've seen this year, there's no reason to think that the Kings could beat the Pelicans. I'm sorry. We've seen that movie quite literally too many times.
They'd have so much confidence, the Pelicans would.
Yeah, it would be ridiculous. Maybe you got them right where you want
play.
Them. Right. No thanks.
Yeah.
I'm good. But that's kind of where this team is at. And, you know, we did see, you know, people when we were talking about Monty McNair, that's where the frustration stems from, is they just feel like, okay, we're just giving up on this season then. But I would still propose the counter of, okay, who's the player that you're going to bring in that's going to make you feel better or significantly better about playing those teams? Because I just don't think that person was out there.
Yeah. So again, looking at the Kings and whether or not they are in trouble. If the Kings lose to the Suns tonight, they'll drop 1.5 games out of a playoff spot and fall to sole ownership of 8th in the West.
Mm.
All right? They're going up against the Suns. The Suns have, you know, they recently lost a seed. Yeah, they recently lost on a buzzer beater to the Warriors, but the Suns looked good. They beat the Bucks last week, okay, 114 to 106. They beat the Jazz. They beat the Wizards, of course. They beat the Nets, they lost to the Hawks, beat the Heat. These are all their last couple games.
It's thumping. Come on, no, you gotta talk through it. You know, if you gotta play thumping. Through the sound.
That's right.
This is how this is what it's gonna be like. It's a road game. It's
and
Club
you said
Phoenix.
And Chris, you said they're actually pretty high on the list as far as. Their strength of schedule.
Strength of schedule. Yeah, they are number one in the NBA in terms of strength of schedule. They have a 550 win percentage, the remaining opponents. They have, oh my goodness, they have two more against the Celtics, so they haven't played the Celtics yet this year. They have two more against Minnesota, two more against OKC, two more against the Clippers, and two more against Denver. So they've barely even played their tough teams. I was also looking at their...
They get the Bucks again. They get the Cavs again.
Their splits this year. They've honestly played... they probably share a lot of the same frustrations that Kings fans share. Looking at their record, teams above 500, Phoenix is 14 and 15. Teams below 500, 17 and 7. The Kings have a pretty identical record versus teams above 500. Kings are 16 and 17, so both are a game under 500, and the Kings teams below 500 this year, 14 and 5. So really, I mean, they've kind of done very similar things where they've beat up on all of the bad teams, which is great. That's what you're supposed to do if you're a good team, but they really have not separated themselves when it comes to playing teams that can match them or at least kind of touch them talent-wise, and I do think the Kings are one of those teams. Again, the Kings, in the two games they've played against them, have kind of killed them. They just, last time they played, you know, had a historic collapse of which we don't need to talk about. But again, they were in Club Phoenix, so, you know, it gets loud in there, and it's tough to, when the momentum's sliding, you know, people start fist-pumping in the crowd, it gets crazy over there.
Got to get to a break. When we get back, more Kings talk, more texts, more calls, more Sack Chat. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
This is Sacktown Sports.
From the 916, the strategy for whichever team is playing the Kings in the playoffs, sit your starters, rotate in some G League dudes. The Kings will crumble. From the 916. Come on, 916. What's everybody
Spot
talking about?
Spot the lie, man.
That one got us. That one got us good. 916. Live Nation has teamed up with Sacktown Sports for your chance to see Daniel Tosh at Hard Rock Live April 12th. All you have to do is hit up the Folsom Lake hotline. In 15 minutes, Nate will pick the number caller, and we will get you your tickets if you are the lucky caller.
I am not mentally prepared for, even like that's taking it to the extreme, but I am not prepared for, you know, X team's star is going to be out for game three. And then we come on air and we're like, the Kings, this set up so perfectly. Mm-hmm. They can go up 2-1 in the series. This is, you can't draw it up any better. And then they lose by 30.
Well, that's what happened with Draymond going out.
They lost, right?
Yes.
They lost.
Yes,
lost.
Game three.
No, you're right, Nate.
Yeah. So, Chris, I think you're just having like
I think it's PTSD.
Yeah,
it's
you're gonna, just forgetting. You blocked it out.
I did. I blocked
it's coming
it out
back.
Completely.
Yeah, but if Ron Artest was there, it would have been a different story.
Right. That's right.
That's right.
Somebody else would have been out, too.
Yeah.
I think it would have been with injury instead of suspension.
Spencer Dinwiddie to the Lakers. Are you moved?
No. If I'm not mistaken, Spencer Dinwiddie is quite literally last in the NBA when it comes to field goal percentage. I mean, good for them.
He pulls, though.
It's, he you got to pull to be last. It's fine. Like he's a good player. He's a really, really smart guy. I don't think it's going to change. I mean, much like we just kind of talked about with the Kings, like I don't think it's going to change the Lakers from a first round exit to, you know, now they're in the conference title again. I definitely, you know, it's a good move, but it's really not one that's going to make a big difference in the long run. I would have liked the Kings to have him, but you know, I think the Kings have a bigger need at backup point guard.
Mm. Yeah. They still don't know what they're doing, and I saw Darvin Ham say he might close games for us. He doesn't know.
No.
He doesn't.
He has no idea. No.
Yeah, he has no idea.
That poor guy.
What is kind of going on there.
He's just trying to keep his job, man.
Yeah.
He's just like, you know what, I got to talk with LeBron for a minute because I don't know how much longer Darvin Ham, our guy Darvin Ham, I don't know how much longer he's got.
He's hanging on. I mean,
he's definitely hanging on.
It's too late now. I don't think you can fire him now.
I don't think so. Yeah. I mean, yeah, Doc's off the market, so I don't even know where they would go. I haven't heard LeBron campaign for anybody yet. Maybe it would be Phil Handy. I know he's a big name over there and somebody that LeBron really likes, but. I don't know. I mean, and also, if you're the Lakers, like, how much input do we even give LeBron these days? Like, what, if I'm not mistaken, LeBron can move on after this season. He's got I think he has a team option or a player option. If he wanted to, he could, which is the whole Bronny thing, where if he wanted to, he can go somewhere else.
Yep, player option.
I wouldn't do it. I mean, I think the Lakers made it clear with their not doing anything at the deadline that, to an extent, they're not going to do something just because LeBron says to do it. But, you know, when it comes to Darvin Ham, I don't think he's done a great job. I don't think he's done nearly as bad of a job as what LeBron is insinuating. But, you know, at the same time, you got to keep your stars happy.
I didn't really think Darvin Ham showed anything last season. I mean, he doesn't really look like he's ever doing anything.
Yeah.
And that could be a lazy take, but that's just what it looks like to me. Yeah. LeBron, the player option, 51.4 million dollars. Is it crazy to think that if he opts out, he won't get paid that much again? Is LeBron worth 51.4 million dollars right now?
Yeah, he is, but I don't know if he'll get paid it. That's a good point. LeBron's value is endless.
He's worse than jersey sales and ticket sales.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like
yeah.
he's priceless. If he moves to somewhere he hasn't played before, he's going to.
It's changing the economy of that place.
That's the number one jersey overnight, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? If LeBron's
roster
a king, I'm getting a
jersey. Wise, you don't care as far as the cap or anything like that.
He's probably not going to get paid $50 million.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
I'm saying for LeBron to want to opt out.
Yeah.
Why he would opt out? He can just get Darvin Ham canned.
Yeah, I mean, and that's probably the most likely path.
You know.
It's just if he feels like, I mean, LeBron's still trying to win one more though, so. I think that if he feels like the Lakers aren't close, aren't a move away or an offseason away, there's a lot of smoke behind the Miami stuff. There's a lot of smoke behind the Knicks stuff as well.
I believe the Knicks. I don't believe.
What do you think about the Warriors?
I just don't think he would do it. I think he's smarter than that. I think he knows. Like he just saw KD. It was never KD's team.
He's not KD.
It's different now. It's way different. That team sucks now.
It's always going to be Steph number one in the Bay Area. There is no changing that being Steph and Curry's
But I don't
team.
Know if LeBron cares. He went to the Lakers. Yeah.
Does LeBron James care about attention?
Chris, he went to the Lakers. He's living in the shadows of Kobe. Shaq.
They're not on the team.
LeBron lives in nobody's shadow. He is the sun. He has quite literally said,
Chris,
I am the sun.
Okay, what I'm saying is if he didn't care about that going to the Lakers, you think
he thinks
about
he's
going...
bigger than the Lakers brand, which is ended up being pretty true.
I don't know if that's true.
It's definitely true. LeBron has ran that team. They have not said, LeBron, we're the Lakers. You're going to fall into the Laker way, and you're going to like it.
Because there was no Laker way. They were trash.
The Laker way is giving way to the stars. That's the Laker way.
Yeah, right. That's fair. If he won a championship.
I'm just saying he's not taking a backseat to Stephen Curry ever.
But I'm not saying he has to. I'm saying they can live simpatico.
That's what Kevin Durant thought.
He's not Kevin Durant.
How would LeBron be any? How would Golden State fans you know, you were boots on the ground. Yeah. How would Golden State fans ever like LeBron more than Steph Curry?
No, they wouldn't like LeBron more than Steph Curry.
Then it's end of conversation. Like
LeBron is bringing new Warrior fans that are coming for LeBron.
But LeBron wants massive. He wants every. He doesn't want.
He will get enough.
It's never enough. He
will get enough.
Like you're campaigning for it.
No, I'm just saying.
I think that there is plenty of other places where it's not a question.
There's plenty of other places you probably won't win a ring.
I mean, what about Golden State's situation right now makes him feel like that?
Because he's got Steph.
They have Steph right now.
Steph, LeBron, Draymond.
His buddy Chris Paul.
I don't know about. The problem is Wiggins and Clay. I don't know if that's enough. If you can get Wiggins to do something, that's enough to be in the mix. I don't know about Clay, though.
I think it's LeBron's looking for LeBron.
I think he'll go to the Knicks. He goes anywhere.
I could see Miami. I really could see Miami. Why? He's got familiarity there. From what I understand, he just bought another condo there this offseason.
But he can't do what he can't just.
Heat culture, winning way. I mean, they made the finals last year.
The reason he left is because Pat Riley wouldn't, their best wouldn't player. Do certain things he wanted him to do.
Yeah, well, Pat Riley, you want to talk about LeBron getting up there. Pat Riley, much like Jerry Jones, is like, I think I need one more before I clock out. And, sometimes you got to put your pride to the side.
That's what's you put your pride to the side.
And you know who's not putting his pride to the side? Who? LeBron James is not going to be the one to put his pride aside.
5-3-0, I was waiting for it. Text line, should the Kings draft Bronny and go after LeBron? King of Kings. That's Malik.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That role's taken.
King of the Kings.
Nah, we're good. We're good. Bronny's averaging like 5 points a game for Bronny SC needs
to
right
stay,
now.
Guys, right now, Bronny needs to stay another year.
Yes.
He needs to stay another
at
year.
At least. Yeah.
Respectfully.
Yes.
That man is not ready.
No. No. The lights were brighter than expected. I don't think that's what it is. But yeah.
When you think about it, though.
It's really hard to be an NBA player. Like, you know, it's kind of nuts. 60 guys who's drafted every year.
But think about it. When you think about being the chosen one, I was talking to my buddies about this. When you think about being the chosen one, how often, if LeBron, they say LeBron is 6'9", right?
Mm-hmm.
Bronny is 6'4", not that he's technically done. But how often, and keep in mind, Savannah is 5'7", 5'8", right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
How often, when you just talk about how someone can just be chosen, how often do you see sons with a tall mom that are 5 inches shorter than their dad? That's a lot.
It is a lot.
That's a lot. That just means that LeBron is just a different beast.
Yes.
He's just
Do we have breaking news sounder on that? LeBron James.
All right. His DNA. Different.
We need a height talk segment.
No, I'm just
this
saying.
This is happening too much.
But you wouldn't. You don't see that often.
I'm not saying your point's wrong. No, I'm just saying we need a banner.
But I'm saying, it's LeBron's son. But LeBron's son is not LeBron.
Right. No,
there's only one LeBron.
Of course, yeah. You know? I think you got to go the LeVar Ball route and say we gotta get like his like I think the Ball's mom is like 6'3", 6'4".
Right.
So it's like
if you want a guarantee, you know, guarantee
6'6" or higher.
I'm just saying.
Yeah,
LeBron. I'm just saying. but you do get LeBron. A second round is worth that. That's from the 5-3-0. We've given up. We don't have enough time. They said we got to get to break. All right, we got to get to break. When we get back, continuing the conversation, we have our tickets coming up for Daniel Tosh, and we want to discuss the Super Bowl surprise, surprise, breaking viewing records. Do we care about that? Styles and Watkins, Sackdown Sports.